We're kind of excited to be in the house of the Lord like always. And you was talking today, we got a whole bunch of people out today. There's people that is doing abortion recovery, okay, in Florida, leading that. We got folks that's got at other churches speaking on our behalf. We have all this other stuff going on today. But you know what's cool? God's got exactly who he wants here today, man. So as we begin to understand what God is doing, it's personal. Everybody say it's personal. It is personal, so we're going to talk about that same God. See, what we want to talk about and be able to speak into today is this. It's important for us to remember, it's very important for us to remember that the cross has never, ever been emptied of its power. Amen? The problem that we seem to have in our society today that we've dumbed down the power of the cross. What we want to do is we want to add to, take away, twist, and act like we're so intellectually smart that we can talk about what the Word says when it doesn't say that. Can you say amen? Okay, what we come to do today is to preach the infallible Word of God. Are you excited to be here today? Amen. I want to tell you something. You know I love when God does stuff, don't you? Well, I have a message prepared for you. I've had it for 4 weeks. God is so awesome. But yesterday, God changed my message. Amen. So I don't know who it's for today. Don't really care who it's for. He's going to do what he wants to do in this service like every other service. So as we begin to preach this message this morning, they're going to put it on the board for you. But it's called Using Your Weakness. Amen. When you begin to look at using your weakness and these weaknesses that we all have, and we begin to identify some weaknesses in this chapel service this morning, it's important for us to know that it's about time for us to surrender to what God is holding on to, or we're holding on to, so God can't work in our lives. But in this scripture this morning, I'm going to be in Luke chapter 6. In Luke chapter 6, in verses 6 through 10, as you turn there, I wanted to share a little bit with you. Jesus heals a man's hand on the Sabbath. So this is what the scripture is about. According to the tradition of the religious leaders, no healing could be done on the Sabbath. Healing, they said, was practicing medicine, and a person could not practice his or her profession on the Sabbath. The religious leaders were more concerned about protecting their laws than freeing a person from pain and suffering. I want to draw a bit of a parallel there this morning, because so often we're so worried about who we might offend, what might happen, how God may use us, that sometimes we handcuff the Lord and we don't allow him to use us. Are you more concerned about what people shouldn't be doing than you are about advancing God's kingdom? That's a spiritual check for us this morning as Christians. Are we so worried about the do's, the don'ts, the laws? So often what happens is we can't even advance the kingdom of God. Is your way of being a Christian the only way? Good question, isn't it? You want to know if you think your way is the only way? Begin to listen to yourself talk. Begin to listen to how all of a sudden there's no brotherhood, no sisterhood. All of a sudden you begin to talk about the rest of the Christians, the rest of the churches. But you know, the Bible is very clear that the accuser of the brethren is Satan. So often what happens is we want to demote, degrade, and tear down other Christians. But we talk about this from this church. We have literally sent in this little church thousands of people all over the world. God has brought them here, trained them, equipped them, gave birth to something here. Who did it? God. God did it so he could send them to China and to Asia, to Africa, all over the United States, in Jacksonville, Florida, in Chicago, Illinois, all the way to the West Coast, back to the East Coast and Central America, everywhere. God has brought people here to be trained, and shame on us if we try to break what God is creating, amen? So often we got to ask ourselves this question: is your way of being a Christian the only way? This is the thought process I want to share this morning. And I've got to ask you this, what about your church? Amen? Ask yourself about your church. A lot of times what we begin to do is we begin to say, man, we're hitting some things right, aren't we? As a church, we're doing some good stuff, aren't we? Everybody got to, you say yes or no. Okay, well, thank you. Appreciate that. I got some of my shouters missing this morning. But listen, we do a lot of right, but we also do a lot of wrong. We've got to continue to be sharpened, changed, equipped, and shipped into this world to make a difference. The Pharisees thought their religious system had all the answers. They could not accept Jesus, okay? They could not accept, I'm telling you now, they could not accept Jesus because he did not fit into their system or their mold. How many people are we rejecting today because they don't fit into our mold? Beware. You guys remember the sermon a couple weeks ago? What was it? Beware. Amen. I need some crowd participation today. I'll help you, all right? Beware of thinking that you or your church has all the answers because none of us do. Christianity is the most positive force to ever hit this planet. Christianity. Why in the world wouldn't the enemy attack Christianity? He will. And he won't stop, and he will do what John 10:10 says. And listen, when we begin to talk about the church, I'm talking about us. Well, who do we think that we are, that we're so holy or so righteous that the enemy will not come after us? John 10:10 is very clear that the enemy, Beelzebub, Slewfoot, the no good for nothing, rotten scoundrel, will do something to you. He will hijack you. He will breach you. He will mess you up every time that you give into just a little bit. All of a sudden, the enemy won't take an inch. He takes the whole mile. And John 10:10 says the enemy, he comes only to steal, to kill, and to destroy. We have an adversary. Today, people don't want to hear about the adversary. Oh, don't preach that, man. That's fire and brimstone. Well, there's going to be fire and brimstone in hell, amen? I'll just tell you how it is, but there's a comma there, and where God put a comma in his word, we need not to put a period, and where he put a period, we need not to put a comma. But there's a comma there that says, Christ came, though, so you could have a life and a life of abundance. Do you believe that? See, many of us have been on the other side getting hijacked, right on? We've been drug addicted, alcohol addicted, breached, broke, busted, disgusted, self-centered, self-seeking, self-righteous, self-indulgent. We have had everything that the world could offer us and more. And then all of a sudden, God called us. Everybody said, he's drawing me. He's drawing me. He's drawed you here today. And it says so in John chapter 6, verse 44, that he is the drawer. He is the perfecter of our faith. He begins to draw us. It's no coincidence that you're here. It's no coincidence that we got people all out speaking today at other places. God has positioned this church for greatness. Amen? And we believe that. We're going to preach truth. Everybody say truth. But all of a sudden, we begin to look at what was going on here. Beware of thinking that you are the only one. You got to figure it out. Everybody else is messed up. That is a way that the enemy uses us to steal, to kill, and destroy our ministries. I heard it said the other day in a meeting that none of the ministries, none of the churches can even work together anymore. And I begin to say, I don't know where that's at. I work with about 18 churches on a weekly basis inside of Clark County. Praise the Lord. But does it come without conflict? Absolutely not. It comes with conflict, but the truth is, we need to expect the conflict. Can you say amen? Christianity is the most positive force. But listen, make sure you don't let it degenerate into a bunch of negatives. What you'll do, and it'd be so easy to do, is do whatever's popular, what everybody else is doing. Falsify the word, water down the word. You know what I'm talking about. I've been preaching on it for 9 weeks, right? It's easy for us to begin to allow people to allow us to dumb down the Word of God. As you stand over the house this morning, I want to read the infallible Word of God this morning. If you take nothing else away, that's okay. Take nothing else away. But do not leave here without the infallible Word of God. As we present the Word of God to you this morning in Luke chapter 6, beginning in verses 6 through 10, hear the Word of God. On another Sabbath, he went into the synagogue and was teaching, and a man was there whose right hand was shriveled or withered. In verse 7, it says, the Pharisees and the teachers of the law were looking for a reason to accuse Jesus. So they watched him closely to see if he would heal on the Sabbath. But Jesus knew what they were thinking and said to the man with the shriveled or withered hand, get up and stand in front of everyone. So he got up. And he stood there. Then in verse 9, he says, then Jesus said to them, I ask you, which is lawful on the Sabbath, to do good or to do evil, to save a life or to destroy it? Verse 10 concludes, he looked around at them, and then he said to the man, stretch out your hand. Everybody say it with me, stretch out your hand. Stretch out your hand. He did so, and his hand was completely restored. Father, we just come to you this morning. Father, we ask that you would articulate this message to us. God, scales from our eyes, plugs from our ears. Father, speak to us individually, personally, and privately. Father, I ask now that you would allow me to decrease as you would increase, and Father, that your word would go forth. God, we bind anything that's not of you in this service, God. God, we have a call to repentance today, Father God. We ask that you, Lord God, would be magnified and glorified. It's in the name of Jesus Christ that we all pray, and everyone said, amen. You may be seated. Every one of us has a weakness. We have many weaknesses so often. They are physical, they are emotional, relational, financial, intellectual weaknesses. We have weaknesses. We wear flesh. Everybody sound flesh? Everybody go and get you a little pinch of it. Pinch it real good and hard. Pinch it, pinch it, pinch it. And when you say ouch, you still wear flesh. Our war is against this flesh that we wear. There are things your body just can't do. Now, some of us was talking about this the other day, and we said, man, you know what? I won't call Lorenzo out wherever he's at. But he's had a birthday, and someone said, next year, man, you're going to be the big 4-0, and things begin to change. I said, amen. Amen. I said, then 50, uh-oh. And we started talking about that. And all of a sudden, one of the brothers that was 87 years old said, you know what? There's a lot of things I still think I can do at 87 when I was 40. He said, but I think I can do it. My body says you ain't going to do it. Amen. You know what I'm talking about, right? You know what you used to be able to do at 18 that you can't do at 28, and you can't do it. You used to do it at 28, and you can't do it at 38, and you used to be able to do it at 38, and you can't even think about it at 48. You know what I'm thinking about, right? Okay, that's what happens to us is that so often we begin to understand that there's things that we just can't do. We have all different kinds of weaknesses that we can associate with this message today. The real issue is not, do I have a weakness? Or do I have weaknesses? We all have weaknesses. Everybody raise your hand. See, we're in good company, every one of us, just like sinners. All of us are in sinner, and we all are in need of grace. Okay, so as we get into good company, do I have weakness? But the real question is, what am I going to do with my weakness? That's the real question, amen? So that's what the message is that I wish to articulate to you today from this very word of God. And I'm not going to come back to this very word until the very end, but I'm going to share a lot of scripture with you this morning. As I begin to paint a picture here, what we normally do when we have a weakness, now come on, can you admit it? When we have a weakness, what do? I've put some things down here. We begin to deny it, defend it, excuse it, and resent it, and most of all, we hide it. Sound familiar? We don't want anybody to know that we have a weakness. Now, you know that I came from a sports background. I came from a business leader. I came from that. I was taught and trained and equipped from a little boy's age to begin to share with people that you do not show weakness. You do not show weakness. You never let nobody know that you have a weakness. Anybody else trained in here like that? Amen. See, when we begin to live that life that was contrary to the Word of God, when we went the wrong way, when we would allow the weakness to begin to conquer us, see, all of a sudden things happened and we went the wrong direction, but we didn't want to admit, and nobody certainly didn't want nobody to see our weakness. You know what it's like. Our family, here's an example. Our family might have a place where we have domesticated violence, amen, where you might fight or argue or have some displeasure. And a gentleman shared this with me just this weekend, and he said, as they begin to argue, it began to bother me. And he said, as a little boy, he said, I would watch mommy and daddy begin to argue. And he said, by the time I was 11 or 12 years old, he said, I watched my daddy slap my mommy. And he said, I went home ahead of them. I was so scared that I ran, that I slapped that bullet in a gun. He said, I'm killing my daddy today. It was a weakness that was being sowed into this young man. And then he said his daddy, when he pulled the gun out, he said his daddy said, what? There ain't no bullet in that. And he said, I'll show you. So he pulled it back and the bullet come out. He said, see, they ain't now. And he said, you know what happened to me? You know what happened to me from that point? See, the thing is, we're talking about weaknesses today and we all have them. Amen? Listen, then God comes along and says something like this about your weakness. You know what I want to do with your weakness? I want to use it. I want to use where you think you're the very weakest. That doesn't make sense to us. We think God only wants our strengths. He wants our muscle and all this stuff. It's all about us, but it's really absolutely not about that. Here in Isaiah, I want to share with you this morning in chapter 55, verses 8 through 9. The people of Israel were foolish to act as if they knew what God was thinking and planning. They thought they had it all figured out. We can figure this out. I know what God's thinking. I know what's going on, but listen to this. In verse number 8, it says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, Neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. So when we think we got to figure it out, just like Israel, all of a sudden what happens, God delivers us a message. God begins to show us. He begins to teach us that his ways are higher than our ways. He already knows what's going on. He already knows what the struggles are that we have. He already knows our weaknesses. But as he begins to bring out our weaknesses, he begins to build with his power. I want to qualify that. He begins to build with his power some muscle, some spiritual muscle inside of his people. Amen? Well, listen to this now. His knowledge and wisdom are far greater than yours and mine. We are foolish to try and to fit God into our mold that we want to press him in, to make his plans and purpose conform to our plans and purpose. Instead, we must strive to fit into his plans instead of us trying to get him to fit into our plans. See, the problem today is that we think that we can manipulate the cross. We think that we can make stuff up and say the Bible really didn't mean, the Bible really doesn't say, it's the same yesterday, today, and forever, hallelujah. Well, that's not so popular today, we know that, but we begin to understand something's going on. God is smarter than me. God is a whole lot smarter than you, amen? God is smarter than us. The way you think he should work is often the exact opposite of the way that he really works in our lives. He says, I don't want to work around or in spite of your weakness. I want to work through your weakness. Amen? So you might be thinking here today that you've been hijacked, that you've been permanently derailed, that you've been messed up, but right where you came off, God is about to set your feet back up on a solid rock. Amen. So we know that we begin to talk about the things that happens. We talk about the addictions. We talk about the financial run. We talk about all this stuff that happens. But let me tell you something. Through your weakness, God will exalt you and those around you. Amen? Here, I'm going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 27. This is NIV. Here in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 27, Paul is declaring that no amount of human knowledge can replace or bypass Christ's work on the cross. You guys got quiet on me, amen? See, we got some theologians around here. We got some super smart people. We love the Word of God, right? But it don't matter how smart we are, it was paid right there on the cross. It's level playing ground for you and everybody else, the saved and the unsaved. What we're doing and talking about is this. If we can simply get people to come to a place where they can repent for God, to God, and allow their weaknesses to be exposed, he will show up and he'll surely show out. Hallelujah. See, we know that that's all that's happened to us. No matter how messed up we are, stinking thinking, warped man, you name it, all of a sudden God showed up. And we've never been the same. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 27, it says, but God chose the foolish things. Say, foolish things. You know what I'm talking about when God hijacked you, don't you? You know what happened when you thought you had it all figured out and he called your weakness out, don't you? But let me keep going, okay? But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. Let me read it again. God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak. God chose the weak. God chose the weak. That's beautiful, isn't it? He chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. Christ's work on the cross, if it could, listen to me now, Christ would be accessible only to the intellectually gifted and the well-educated. He wouldn't show up or show out to those who are out here that's beat down, who is poverty stricken, who has been breached, broke, busted, and disgusted, if that was true. But what he does is he takes people who think they got the intellectual gift, who are super educated, and he begins to show them how real he is. Amen? And not to, listen, I want to share this part of it. It says, and not to ordinary people or to children. Nobody would be able to access God but the smart folks, amen? Not true. God purposely works through weak people all the way through his word. And the question would come to us is why? Why would he allow the weak people to be exalted? Let me share with you. Pretty simple. Because it shows his power. Amen? So today, we so smart, man, God is not impressed with the strength of man, we are. So all of a sudden, the more intellectual, the more educated, the smarter the people are. Listen, I've been sitting in plenty of sermons, plenty of messages. I've been all kinds of places where the best of the best is there. But I'm going to tell you today that without the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit dwelling inside of you, I'm telling that you can't preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can't teach the word of God. It'll fall on dry ground, amen. But I'm telling you that when you walk in the anointing of our Savior, you're in heaven, when you begin to share the infallible God without watering it down, when you begin to walk up inside of prisons, when you begin to walk into jails, when you begin to walk into the darkest places, let me tell you, some most intellectual and the most intelligent people that don't have Christ inside of them, they won't go there because they can't go there. You hear what I'm saying? So here's what begins to happen. You say, you mean God's going to use us? Yes, he's going to use us. So all of a sudden, he takes someone like you and I, and he begins to anoint us with the Spirit that dwells inside of us. So all of a sudden, you walk inside the prison, and they say, Cindy, man, there's something about you. You walk in here, the hair stands up on the nape of my neck. The first thing is, we're like, whoo, that's the Lord, amen. But the second thing is, well, how's come everybody else that comes in the name of the Lord don't get that? You hear what I'm saying? Lorenzo, you hear me? How in the world did everybody come in the name of Jesus and begin to tell you for years that there was a different way? How in the world can all of a sudden all these people come in the name of Jesus and they have emptied the cross of his power and they have nothing? But all of a sudden that old dude, man, old Carl Adams, amen, a friend of mine, I know that he represents Changing Lives Now Ministry very well. Let me tell you why. Because I know that Carl Adams has fought and retired from the military from three different branches, been shot down in the ocean, and he said, no matter what, Lord, you got for me as I float around this ocean, I still got my Gideon Bible, amen. Whatever the enemy intends for bad, I'm about to break it open on the enemy. He's trying to steal, kill, and destroy, but Christ came so I can have a life of abundance. See, all of a sudden there's an anointing in there, and the enemy wants to cause it to be shipwrecked. He wants to steal, to kill, and destroy, but all of a sudden, God shows up in your life. Amen. All of a sudden, we begin to understand scripture like this, that he endues us weak people with his power. Amen. Yes, that's a good word, isn't it? Listen to this. God is not impressed with strength. He's not impressed. We are. We are. He's impressed with weakness when he can endue you with power. In Zechariah in chapter 4, verse 6, the second part of it, B, we begin to look at it. Let me just read it to you. It says, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord Almighty. Not by power, not by might, but by the spirit of a living God. Not by power, not by might, but by the living Spirit of God that lives inside of you and which was so freely given. It is only through God's Spirit that anything of lasting value can be accomplished. Oh, that's powerful. We just took a lot of ministries off the hook. Amen? If you want to know, man, Lord, why in the world have I been doing prison ministry forever? Why have I been doing jail ministry forever? God, why am I stuck for 15th or 14th year in adopt-a-block? God, why in the world do I have to do Doors of Hope? Why do I have to do Harvest Mills? God, don't you know? And God's saying, look, when you weak, I'm strong. When you weak, then you're strong. Because it's in him. Everybody say, I'm in him. That's what we talk about. The lasting value is only accomplished by the Spirit of a living God. That's good news because most of us are not extraordinary people, okay? We don't have extraordinary intellect. We are just normal, ordinary, average folks trying to make a living, trying to go through the world and do the best we can and serve a God that we know died for us, rose again, and that he loves us. God says, I choose to work through natural weaknesses so that my power can shine through you. Amen. I choose to work through imperfect vessels like you and I just so his power can shine through. When we talk about weakness, we're not talking about our sins, our character flaws that you can actually change, like things like overeating, impatience, greed, laziness, slothfulness. We're not talking about that. Weakness is any limitation in my life that I inherited or I cannot change. There are all kinds of limitations like that. And I got a few of them listed. Physical defects you were born with, external circumstances you cannot control, unexpected financial setbacks. Have you been terminated, fired, kicked out, lost? See, we've experienced that. Relationship pressures within your family, emotional tendencies you are predisposed towards. Some talents are completely beyond your ability, but yet God calls you into it. So all of a sudden, God begins to call you into a talent or a ministry, as we like to label it, and all of a sudden we begin to say, let me pray about it. Let me pray about it because I'm not qualified. Let me tell you something. If you're not qualified by your standard, he is qualifying you by his standard. Can you say amen? Listen, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. Listen to how it said it. And I'm going to be reading to you out of the CEV, okay, on this one. So listen to me. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7, Paul focuses, however, was not on the perishable container that we're about to read, but on its priceless content. But on its priceless content. I want you to know today that you are a priceless content. What God wants to do with you today is use you for his power to advance the kingdom of God. But all of a sudden, God's power dwelling in us. Listen to verse 7. It says, we are like clay jars in which this treasure is stored. The real power comes from God and not from us. You just took yourself off the hook, right? So all of a sudden, when you're called to a ministry and you look back 10 years later and you say, I wonder whatever happened when I was supposed to be doing jail ministry. What happened when I was supposed to be doing prison ministry or nursing home ministry or feeding the hungry or clothing the naked? You know what I'm talking about, all the stuff you do around here, right? You walk so far and you get so far down the road. And remember on those nights, let's just stay home. They won't miss us. They really don't need us. And God's saying, I need you. I'm counting on you. Amen? We're dealing with this in Celebrate Recovery right now. We're getting ready to launch Celebrate Recovery. And all of a sudden we have all these fights going. Hallelujah. It's bigger than us. Amen? Amen. It's bigger than us. All of a sudden, God is doing something, and he is rallying the troops. They're calling us from Indiana and Kentucky and Michigan and Ohio, and all of a sudden they're saying, we're hearing about your Celebrate Recovery, and we're saying, how are you hearing about it? We ain't saying nothing. I'm telling you, we got someone that goes before us that's louder than anything that we can say and anything that we can do. It doesn't matter what our little part in Celebrate Recovery is. What it matters is it surrendered to. Is it for? Is it all about God, or is it about us? It'll never work if it's us. We've proven that over the last 2 years. Can you say amen? Oh, me. The thing about clay pots, listen to this. Clay pots are like this. They break very easily. Okay, they're easily broken. We know that they are not indestructible. Every clay pot has an inherent design flaw. It is imperfect, just like us. It is imperfect. It has a weakness. Every clay pot has a weak spot. We are just ordinary containers. We are just a clay pot. Our responsibility is to let people see God through us. So all of a sudden, that brings to life Revelations 12:11, that we only overcome because of the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. What should have done checked us out, what should have done killed us, whatever's happened, we've overdosed, man, and God brought us back. I'm telling you that we've been bankrupt and God restored. I'm telling you, I can go on and on about the things that's happened to us, but yet God seemed fit to bring us back so he can shine through us. Everybody with me on this? I'm just going to nail down two little spots in here, and I'm done, all right? Everybody say all right? I don't mean to bore you too much, but that's what you get for coming to church, amen? All right, listen, this is the question. It's an overarching question. How can I use my weakness or my weaknesses? Do you care? Okay, now we all got weaknesses. We can agree with that, right? Now listen, if you don't have any weaknesses, feel free to leave. You can start serving lunch for us in the back. Okay, and I can't go with you because I got too many of them, all right? Listen, we have weaknesses. We're going to identify these. How can I use my weaknesses? Listen, first point, admit my weakness. We've got to admit it, amen? Here, let me give you one. I'm supposed to be at church this morning, but I got cold. I don't feel good. I was up too late. I can go off all the excuses. But as soon as the 11 o'clock roll service starts, whoo, I feel better now. We've got to eat, baby. You know what I'm saying? It's a weakness. It's a weakness, and it's got a name. Amen? Everybody looking at me all crazy again. Listen, you're here, so I ain't picking on you, all right? Listen, admit my weaknesses by starting to point. Listen, we've got to get this down. The starting point is to stop pretending that you've got it all together because you do not. Amen? All right, well, I'm in good company. I was worried about that. I thought everybody said, that's only you, Pastor. All right? Stop pretending you got it all together because you don't and nobody does. Stop hoping that your weakness will go away. If you just ignore it, it'll take off. It'll exit the room, not come back no more, won't embarrass me no more. Stop making excuses. Stop blaming others for your weakness. It is your weakness and not theirs. You've tried all that and it has never worked and it never will work. Listen, insanity is doing the same thing over and expecting a different result. The truth is that when we begin to hide, begin to push down, quit exposing our personal weaknesses, what happens is we become insane. All of a sudden, we think that it's everybody else's fault, and we begin the great old blame game. Amen? Sometimes God has to bring something into our lives to get us to admit to our weaknesses. Yeah, that's powerful. Sometimes God's got to allow some things. See, we could talk about all kinds of people in the Bible, but you know, here's an example. Have you considered my servant Job? Have you considered my servant Job? Surely he'll curse God and he'll die. Even his wife says so. He says, no, not on my watch. That's for me and my house. We're going to serve the Lord. Listen, when you begin to go through stuff, I think one of the problems that we do is we begin to give the devil too much glory. See, sometimes we got to go through some stuff and some brokenness, and when we begin to become fragmented, when we begin to get broken down, all of a sudden God can begin to use you. All of a sudden, they're not seeing you no more. They're beginning to see a God that's inside of you. You want to know when you was addicted, when you was breached, broke, busted, and disgusted? I was. But what happened was, is all of a sudden, God began to put me back together. All I had to do was come to an altar of repentance. All I had to do is know that all the power was in the cross. All I had to be taught was no matter what my obstacle was, he was bigger than any obstacle. And the obstacle we used a few weeks ago, that we talk about that 9-foot something, giant Goliath, but I'm telling you, when God's before you, when you begin to lop the head off that big giant in front of you, all of a sudden it just becomes a 9-foot long speed bump, amen, and you can step over it in the name of Jesus. What you've got to know, that your God is bigger than any giant that's in front of you, unless we empty the cross of his power, amen, hallelujah. Listen, stop. We got to stop this nonsense of thinking the way we do, and it's really insanity. Sometimes God has to bring things in for us to be used. I could not tell you. I got a ministry, by the way, and my ministry is for people who have been broken, people who have fallen from grace, people who have walked away from Christ, people who have been injured by the devil. Man, send them to me, Lord. Send them to me because I serve a king that restores, amen. I'm not going to kick you in the teeth when you're down. I'm not going to throw you out to the animals. I'm not going to allow the enemy to come against you anymore. I'm going to stand with you. And when you can't, I will raise your hands up. And when I can't, you better raise mine up. Hallelujah. See, we have a God that's a God of restoration. Well, what happens is that he allows these crises in our life. A crisis, you ready for this word? Crisis is a weakness identifier. Whew. Everybody says, oh, that's good. I'm going to write that down and I'm going to preach on it. Crisis is a weakness identifier. So when a crisis comes in your life, all of a sudden God is about to identify a weakness in your life. And then when he gets you to the other side of it, you know what I'm talking about. And when he gets you to the other side of it, all of a sudden where that crack was, where the enemy come against you, he should have took you out while you had a chance, because all of a sudden you begin to preach about how God brought you from it. You begin to give the power back to the cross where it came from. And all of a sudden they begin to look at you and they know what you was, but now they know who you are. Amen. Second point, I'll go on. We got to identify our weaknesses, and we got to come to the place when you go through a crisis, it says, here's the fault in my life, the failure, the lack, the weak spot in my life. Identify your weakness and admit them to God. Admit them to God. Say, God, I am weak. And he says, I already know that. You want me to work on that? I got you. We'll work together. See, we all have weaknesses. Second point, be grateful for my weakness. Is anybody grateful for weakness in here? Amen. Man, I am. I used to think, I told you that weakness was something I wasn't allowed to display. Weakness was something I was taught. Don't you never show your weakness, boy. Don't you ever do this. Don't you ever do that. But let me qualify this where I'm going with this. The first thing I put down here, you've got to be kidding me. You've got to be kidding me. You've got to be kidding me. Be grateful for my weakness. I don't want you to tell me to be grateful for it. I want to be free from all my weakness. Amen? So we like to hear scriptures like, stronger is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Who the God has set free is free indeed. We hear those scriptures until the enemy comes, and when he begins to hijack us, black our eyes, bust our nose, knock our teeth out, and all of a sudden we begin to act like we're mule-faced Christians, and we don't have a clue why it's happening. Listen, the same word. Everybody say the same word. It's in there. Listen, here's you an example I want to share with you. I'm telling you, God didn't call you to be weak. He called you to call out your weakness. Amen? Everybody hearing me this morning? Listen, 2 Corinthians, if you want to go there with me. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 8 and 9. I'm going to also be in 7 and 10, but I'm going to read to you 8 and 9. Again, I'm going to come to you out of the CEV. But I want to talk about Paul and his thorn. Amen. We know we love Paul. Well, Paul, a writer, isn't he? Oh, Saul to Paul, hallelujah, nothing but the power of God. It's just like your life and mine. Nothing but the power of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 8, three times I begged the Lord to make this suffering go away, but he replied, my kindness is all you need. My power is strongest when you are weak. So if Christ keeps giving me his power, I will gladly brag about how weak I really am. I will gladly brag about how weak I am. You go ahead and minister to someone who's getting wiped out by the devil with cancer, heart disease. Okay, but when you want to see a saint of God, and no matter what they're going through, they say, victory is on the other side. I know that no matter what happens, I know the last enemy to be defeated is death. I know that no matter what happens, I'm a winner either way, whether he heals me here or he'll heal me there, but I will be healed. See, we're talking about the word again. I will gladly brag about how weak I am. And yes, I am glad to be weak or insulted or mistreated or to have troubles and sufferings if it is for Christ. Because when I am weak, I am strong. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. So we go out and we go and we begin to minister. And all of a sudden things begin to happen and things don't go like we think they should. And all of a sudden people begin to talk about us. They begin to call us other names. They begin to call us filthy names. Sometimes they pull the guns out and the knives out. Sometimes they try to discourage you. But the truth is God didn't call us to be weak and wishy-washy, but he has endued us with power on high. He has let our vessels be cracked so he can allow us to shine through us. And he be glorified, and that's what he wants to do with us. He wants to be glorified. Being grateful for my weakness, first point. Y'all still with me? Listen, weaknesses are actually blessings in disguise. You hear me? Weaknesses are blessings in disguise. We've experienced those, haven't we? First point here, listen, be grateful for my weakness because it guarantees God's help. It guarantees God's help. Listen, when we go through tough times, listen, they're overwhelming to the flesh. They're overwhelming. When you lose a loved one, it's not a good thing. It's horrible. It's tragic. It hurts you deeply because we're battling with the flesh and we love our loved ones. Amen? But all of a sudden, when we can get the spirit side to take over, things begin to get better a little at a time. It guarantees God's help. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9, and the first part of it, but he replied, my kindness is all you need. My power is strongest when you are weak. That's God's response to us. I know it's difficult, but I got you. I know it's difficult. Listen to Paul's response in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 10, in the second part of the scripture. Because when I am weak, I am strong. Because when I am weak, I am strong. Listen, when you're weak, all of a sudden God will begin to move mountains for you. All of a sudden, when you can't do it, God knows that he can do it. God knows what is going on. God knows, and he knows he'll bring you through it because when I am weak, I am strong. In other words, the less I have, the more I depend on him. The more I depend on him, the less that I have of me. If you've prayed repeatedly for God to take something away and he hasn't taken away, it's probably a weakness. He might just be saying, why in the world would I want to take that away from you? If you could solve all your problems and meet all your own needs, how much would you depend on me? See, we have a Savior that we must lean into, that we must depend on. Can you say amen? I'm going to ask you a question without any hands, by the way. Is who is struggling with something today? Who is struggling with something today that you keep trying? It's a weakness, and it keeps reoccurring. It keeps going away and coming back. This is what I'm talking about today. We begin to understand. Remember the withered hand. He begins to say, if you'll just stretch it forth. He said, no matter what everybody else says, I could care less about what the law says, but when you stretch it forth, I'm about to heal something. Amen. So I'm going to be calling for some hands here in just a minute. Listen, we begin to understand, be grateful for my weakness. First of all, it guarantees God's help. And secondly, it prevents. They got it up there? No, what are they waiting on? Asleep? Wake up, Charles. There we go. What's it prevent? What's it prevent? What's it prevent? What? Not a Christian. We wouldn't have a problem with arrogance. We walk in love. Right? You guys are hard to get along with this morning, all right? Listen, it's easy to be arrogant. And here's the other thing, it's easy to be perceived as being arrogant. The truth is that so often what happens, what we think is confidence, can become arrogance, and sometimes it does. But also, remember the enemy, sometimes when you're confident, people mistake it for arrogance, amen? So that's okay. We got to work through this. Let me share this with you. All of a sudden, we got to be grateful for our weakness. It prevents arrogance. Now, you say, now how in the world, if I'm walking in confidence in the power and the might of Jesus Christ, how in the world could that be all right when someone thinks I'm arrogant? Well, I've experienced it a whole lot, okay? And the truth was, there's something in there for me. There's something in there for me. They said, well, you come with me, and of all this might and all this power, and you say this, you say that. And what did the brother say to us the other day about the water walker? How do you say it? I'd rather be a wet water walker than a dry boat walker. I'd rather be a wet water walker than a dry boat talker. Amen? So that's okay. Write that down. That's worth repeating, isn't it? We're going to use it. Because what happens is we like to talk about it. We don't want to do it. But all of a sudden, when we begin to walk in that power and that might and that authority of God, all of a sudden somebody might mistake it for being arrogant. Let me keep going. I'll blow that point up. It prevents arrogance. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7, it says, therefore, in order to keep me from becoming conceited, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan, to torment me. Woo, you hear me, don't you? Do you have a thorn in the flesh? Do you got somebody to torment the brakes off of you? You got them, don't you? Everybody say amen. So come on now, if you got one, say amen. Amen. I'm just joking. I got a couple thorns, amen, but that's okay. So don't you. So what happens is, you know what it is, the thorn in the flesh, it can be things that people can't get past, falsely accuse you, lie to you, tear you down. Let me keep going. What is a thorn? Let me qualify this for you. What is a thorn? It is a weakness. A thorn is a weakness. Listen, now, Paul had a thorn in the flesh, and it wasn't removed. My wife has a thorn in the flesh. It's a physical ailment. As a sheriff deputy, when she was injured, she has a part of her brain that with noise, it swells and contracts. The brain, the skull is supposed to. It don't work no more. And we prayed for it to be healed, and she said, God spoke to her. All right, this is a good thing. God, what is it? She said, God told me he ain't healed me right now. He said, when I get ready to heal you, I'll heal you. You might as well quit praying. You might as well let it go. I'll just give you a thorn in the flesh. Huh? Are you willing to accept a thorn in the flesh? Amen? Some of you are getting mad at me. I can see it. What is a thorn? It is a weakness or a limitation that you cannot change, that causes me pain and apparently limits my ministry, and I can't do what I want when I want. What does a thorn do to us? It causes me enough pain that I remain humble and dependent on God. I remain humble and I become dependent on God. If God is ever going to use you in a great way, you can expect a thorn up inside of your life. So we need to quit looking at the thorns that's in our life as a problem and as something that's hindering us. The truth is God is using that thorn to advance the kingdom of God. Can you say amen? Amen. Listen, a third point, be grateful for my weakness because it causes me to value others. It causes me to value others. I don't know about you, but I sit in meetings and I sit in places and I think, man, what an idiot. What kind of, man, that guy's stupid, man. Are you serious? You think that's the word of God? You are ignorant. Is it just me? Amen. Listen, I go in a restaurant and I say, if I was ever a waiter, I certainly could do it better than that. You hear what I'm saying to you? All of a sudden, things begin to happen to where we devalue people. It's easy to devalue people. Listen, we look at someone who is less than, and we think that there's someone for us to walk on. The problem today is this, that when people struggle and they hurt and they're beat down, that's when we're supposed to hold their hands up. Just because you're not in the trial right now don't mean anything, because you will be. You will be in a trial. You will be in a fire. You will be facing death. You will be. But our job is not to be judgmental. Our job is to love. And the second commandment is just like it, love. Amen? Well, you can't love if you don't value each other. It's difficult to really love. See, if you don't love, things sit in like racism. Things sit in like hatred. Things set in like division. See, all of a sudden, people says, hey, have you had a church split? And I said, our church splits has always been awesome. We've had probably 100 of them. They said, you had church splits? I said, yeah. I said, we split and went to China. We split and went to Africa. We split and went to, yeah, that's the only church splits we've ever had. Okay, but here's what's happened, the advancement of the kingdom of God. See, that's the church split that God's looking for, amen. He's looking to split it off. He's looking, and all of a sudden, he'll send more, and this place will be full again here in a few months. It'll be so packed you can't find a seat, and you begin to complain, they took my seat. Amen. Your name ain't on it. Look on the bottom. It's on the bottom. I paid for it. It's on the bottom. That's my chair. That's why we don't have pews, because they stink. Amen. It causes me to begin to value others. Listen, one of the dangers of strength is that it breeds an independent spirit. Listen, you got to hear this. It breeds an independent spirit. If I don't have any weaknesses in my life, I tend to think I don't need nobody, but God made us value each other. You make a strong rope, and when you begin to make it, the Bible begins to talk about the three-strand cord. It's unbreakable. It's harder to break, and all of a sudden you begin to understand what God is talking about here, but putting a lot of strands together, that the value of unity, the value of a church family comes to life. All of a sudden, when you're hurting, we come around you. When you walk away, I come and pursue you. You get mad at me, and I really don't care. Amen? Because I come, and you won't answer the door. When the pastor's there, I send somebody else after you. We know where you go shopping, and we come after you again. Amen? We ain't going to let you go away and go to hell. Sorry. Okay, we have a responsibility, and we love you, church family. In Ecclesiastes, in chapter 4, verse 12, it says, though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. So we believe in unity in the body of Christ. Fourth point, it gives, when we talk about this, now be grateful for my weakness, it gives me a ministry. Who's called a ministry in here? Y'all, everyone, better raise your hands. Let's try it again. I'm going to look up in. Who's called a ministry in here? Hey, some of you don't like, come on now. We're all called to ministry. God puts you on this earth not just to live for yourself, but to help other people. God puts you on this earth not to live for yourself, but so you can help other people. Your greatest ministry will flow out of your weakness. Your greatest ministry will flow out of your weakness. Your greatest life message is going to come out of your very deepest hurt. The thing you most are embarrassed about, ashamed of, the thing you don't want nobody to know about, God wants to use it to encourage other people. Pain sensitizes us to the hurts of others, and if you want to have a Christ-like ministry, we got to come to the place to know Jesus Christ received wounds in his body so we could all benefit from it, and through our wounds also, we can begin to tell people about Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 4 says, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God? When you have walked a mile in someone else's shoes, you are uniquely equipped to help them. God never, ever wastes a hurt. Whenever you go out and share your strengths, that always creates competition. You guys hear me? Listen, I want to say it again. When you always go out and you only share your strengths, it only creates competition. But whenever you share your weakness, that creates community. It's time for us to create community. It's time for us to do what God wants us to do, and it's to free ourselves. You guys remember the opening scripture? We talked about the withered hand. On the Sabbath, he said, reach it forth. And he healed it. He healed the withered hand. Listen, vulnerability is the key to intimacy and fellowship. Vulnerability. Everybody hear me now? Vulnerability is the key to intimacy and fellowship. God always uses weak people. He turns weakness into strength for him. He turns weakness into strength for him. No matter what your weakness is, he wants to turn it into a strength for him. Everybody still got it, right? All right, listen to this. I'm going to nail it down. You ready to get nailed down? Listen, I got some good examples in the old Bible. Amen? Listen, here they go. Moses' anger was Moses' greatest weakness. We know that. He killed the Egyptian, broke the tables of stone, and he smoked the rock twice. Yet only he and Jesus were called meek in the Bible, which means anger was now under control. See, all of a sudden, we look at David. David lusted after another man's wife, committed adultery with her, and then had the man killed. But later, he was called a man after God's own heart. When God turned that weakness into a strength, God began to glorify him. Abraham is called the father of faith, but his greatest weakness was his lack of faith. One time, he had his wife pretend to be his sister because he doubted that God could protect him from the enemy who wanted her. Gideon, listen now. When God wanted Gideon to become Israel's deliverer from the Midianites, he called him a mighty man of valor. Gideon was hiding from the enemy at the time, but God still used him. Jesus called Peter a rock, but he was anything but stable. He was impulsive and violent, and he even denied the Lord. But look at him on the day of Pentecost after God used his weakness to become his strength. Amen. And Jacob was a deceiver, a manipulator, and a schemer. He made one mess after another and ran from it. He ran his entire life until the night that he wrestled with God. He ran the entire night until he began to wrestle with God. He ran the entire night until he began to wrestle with God. It's time for us to wrestle with some weaknesses this morning, amen. We begin to understand that he wrestled with God, and he said, I'm not letting you go until you bless me. And God said, okay, I'll bless you. He touched Jacob at the greatest point of his strength, that thigh that helped him run. And he helped him run from everything, and forever after, he would have to walk or he would have to limp. Why? God is sick of us running from our weaknesses, and God will touch you today, and all of a sudden he'll take that withered up hand and he'll begin to make it all new, amen. He'll take whatever you can't do and he'll be able to begin to put the power of the cross upon it. And it says in God's word by Jesus Christ, 39 stripes, we are healed. All of a sudden, so he couldn't run from his weakness anymore, and so he would have a constant reminder that he must, from this point forward, depend on God. Is there anybody in here today that needs to begin to depend on God for their weakness? Anybody? As we stand all over the house and the praise and worship team makes their way up, I want you to hear me loud and clear. God wants to take us. He wants to do something with us. He wants to depend on us. God wants to take the greatest weakness in your life, and he wants to turn it into a strength. He wants to take the greatest weakness in your life, and he wants to turn it into your greatest strength. You begin to wonder what he's talking about. It can be oppression, depression, recession. And feel inferior to people, can't talk in public, can't speak publicly. It doesn't matter what it is that you have as a weakness today. God wants to touch you. He wants to be able to have a Jacob experience. He wants to touch you. So from now on, your limp will be, okay, God, I got you, and I understand, and I know who you are now. He wants to take your weakness away from you today. God uses your weakness. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 32 through 34, and what more shall I say? And he says, I don't have time to tell all the people, amen. I don't have time to tell them all. Whose weakness was turned to strength? All these people that's up here, their weakness was turned to their strength. Listen in verse 33. Everybody's with me, right? At the end of verse 33, it says, whose weakness was turned to strength, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered to justice and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, who quenched the fury of flames, who and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength, and who became powerful in battle and routed all foreign armies. Listen, this morning, his strength is made perfect through your weakness.